Welcome to the Call to Obedience radio program. I'm Pastor Schulze, and this program comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on this declaration of thy sacred word in the name of Jesus. I want you to know today that nothing that troubles you escapes the all-seeing eye of God. Today we shall consider a story where a man lost his axe head, that's iron, and the water, and God made the iron float because he cares about everything in your life. So here's a text for the story. It's in 2 Kings. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take every man a beam, that's a stick. But as one man was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And the men of God said, Where fell it? And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now what the Acts of the Apostles is to the New Testament, the book of Kings, or the two book of Kings, are to the Old Testament. I would like to rename the two books of Kings as the Acts of the Prophets. So here in the Old Testament, as in the Acts of the Apostles, you see men of God performing miracles in the midst of a troubled world. By changing the titles of these two books to the Acts of the Prophets, the eye of the reader would be more focused on the 49 references to Elisha the prophet than the 29 kings listed here. So from the start, there would be a greater attention to God's power compared to men's weakness, God's holiness compared to men's wickedness, God's fullness compared to men's emptiness, God's hope compared to men's despair. In this book, we see that all those who stuck with Elisha, the man of God, were taken care of, blessed, and empowered. We also see that everything God did here was somewhat upside down, non-traditional, and out of this world. In other words, if you go with God, my friend, you never know what's going to happen next. For example, at first God, rather than choosing one of the 50 seminary graduates from the prophet school, God chose a farmer who was not trained for the ministry to become Elisha's successor. Didn't Jesus do the same thing? Jesus passed by the seminary graduates, the scribes and Pharisees, to pick fishermen and a tax collector to be his apostles. So look at the unusual things in the life of Elisha. Remember the stories of the healing of the bitter waters of Jericho. Remember how God used him to supply water for the army, replenishing a widow's oil, restoring a child's life, feeding 100 men, and healing a foreign general's leprosy, and today making iron float. What you have here in the second book of the Acts of the Prophets, 2 Kings, as a sweet divine correction to the erroneous perception in many minds that the God of the Old Testament is lacking in compassion, gentleness, and personal one-to-one care compared to the God of the Gospels. But we see here clearly that God is God, was God, and will be God, and that his character and attributes have never changed, nor will they ever change. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament, is the God of today, a caring God. Now, going back to Genesis, for example, you have the wonderful story of man and God. It began with the Creator walking with Adam and Eve in holy intimacy in paradise. Yet notice that God paid more attention to Jacob's speckled goats than to the creation of the entire celestial universe. God's focus has always been his people, such as you and me, more than anything else in the world. And when one of us loses an axe head or a button or ticket. He knows all about it and is ready to help us if conditions are right on our side to invite a miracle. So then, what are the circumstances that caused an unnamed prophet's axe head to float? What invited the supernatural? If we have an answer to that, we may know what causes many other hopeless conditions to invite or trigger the supernatural. In this case, as in many other stories of the Bible, we see that God is not only the God of Sunday, but also the God of Monday, that is, the God of the ordinary. We see here that God is not obsessed by a dramatic or spectacular thing, as the newspapers or television people are, but God shows himself here as the God of the common man getting involved in his ordinary, everyday affairs. What happens in the story is something that happens to everybody. Sometime in life, everybody borrows something, breaks something, or loses something, and nearly everyone gets flustered and bent out of shape when it happens. So if you have ever borrowed, broken, or lost something, you are in this story. And in this very flustered situation, you can find God in the midst of it, for his eye is on the sparrow and he watches over you. So, you have to remember that God is so interested in you that he does not even allow you one moment of privacy. There's not one second that God ever takes his eyes off of any person. Hence, Job complained, "Lord, I can't even swallow my spittle without you knowing it." Oh, I marvel at God. He knows and cares about an ordinary man losing his axe head. It made the bells of heaven ring. So then, what is it that can make iron float in our lives, in our churches? What will invite the supernatural? Indeed, there are several conditions that must be met. I cannot list them all in one article, but let me list some of them from this story that may apply to some of your lives. Number one, there was a most sacred relationship between the prophet and his followers. There must be such a relationship between the pastor and his congregation. Here, there was nothing between the leader and the followers, but love and trust. No criticism, no judging, no lining up from either side. Jesus could not do many mighty works in Capernaum because of criticism, resentment, distrust, and unbelief. In Capernaum, much of the iron remained submerged, if you know now what I mean by that, that otherwise would have floated. Also, the Holy Spirit could not fall upon his apostles until Judas had been removed from among them. There are times when we all needed Judas, as Jesus did. But when it comes to revival praying, the Judases must go. In case of Elisha, the servant Gehazi was like Judas because he wanted self-gain. Elisha did not have a school of prophets until God had struck Gehazi with leprosy to remove him from Elisha's ministry. Do not grieve over such removals. It is better to have a small church without Gehazis and see the iron float than a large church with many Gehazis, yet without the supernatural. Numbers don't bring miracles. Purity does. Secondly, what made the iron float? It is because the leader, Elisha, was approachable by his followers. Elisha had an ear as to what was in the hearts of his people. He knew that this should not be a me ministry, but an us ministry. It says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." There was a divine humility in the heart of this prophet Elisha. He was lacking the know-it-all mentality, which prevents the Holy Spirit from working. Thirdly, there was also humility in the sons of the prophets. Nobody here had a Gehazi spirit. Nobody. With grandiose ideas for the things of the earth for showing off. Hence, the sons of the prophets did not ask to build a cathedral of glass or some fancy seminary as their school increased, but rather they asked for a log cabin. They said, let every man take a beam, a rather modest request. They did not ask for cedars, marble stones, or artisans to put up the new building, the new church. They were content with the least, if only God could be in it, because then they knew they would have the best. If you have a spirit that always wants to get something or acquire something, a spirit that is never satisfied, ever wanting more, a show-off spirit, then your ex-head will not be raised. It might lie on the bottom of life's circumstances forever. Your problems will continue to burden you down. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we need the spirit of humility and brokenness for God to do great and mighty things. So Jesus made this scripture, blessed are the poor in spirit, the foundation of the whole Sermon on the Mount. These prophets didn't care about building credentials with man, but with God. Then, another thing that made the iron float is that Elisha was not afraid of his followers taking the initiative. When he asked if they could enlarge the place, Elisha agreed. They said, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Yet if Elisha had said no to their request, they would have willingly and happily remained in the same place. To there let us go, Elisha responded, go. This smooth, divine cooperation helped to create an atmosphere for iron to float. Does this remind you of why the Holy Spirit fell upon the early church? They were one heart, of one spirit, and also of one mind. Finally, what helped make the iron float, my friend, these sons of the prophets had such love for their master that they did not want to do anything without him. Oh, if people love their pastor that way, they would want to have him with them most all the time in all their endeavors. That would be another factor to invite the supernatural, as the disciples wanted to be with Jesus all the time. Again, love should be reciprocal. Anything, any great thing can happen under those circumstances, for love is abounding. Anytime we violate the law of love, we cancel out the supernatural. We cancel out iron from floating, from our needs being met miraculously. Now, coming to the end of the story, says he in verse 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he shewed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Once again, we are all in this story. We all have borrowed, broken, and lost things. We have all been at wit's end about it. Dear child of God, your Heavenly Father knows all about your problem. The iron may well be sin in your life, or a burden, or the concern for the lostness of men, or in general the hopelessness of a situation. The stick may well represent the tree on which Jesus died. Salvation is through the cross, and it will work wherever we do our part. So examine your heart, make all things right between you and your God, between you and your pastor, and between you and your fellow men, then your axe head will also float. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until next week.